Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
I'm going to read two passages of scripture here. The first one is found in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, and the second in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. In Micah 4 and 8, it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." In Luke 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." For a few moments out of the word of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on this subject, the shepherd's sign. The shepherd's sign. We all know that Jesus is the great I am. And so many times throughout the scripture, throughout the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and particularly John, Jesus would hearken back to those important words spoken to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, saying that he is the I am. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread sent down from heaven. I am, I am, I am he," he would say. And still to this day, we hear his words echoing through the channels of time, back to us now, Jesus saying, "I am the center of everything. I'm running the show. I am the same every day, forever. I'm the owner of everything. I am the Lord. I am the creator and sustainer of life. I am the Savior. I am more than enough. I'm inexhaustible, immeasurable. I am God." Jesus is. He's more massive than our wildest imaginations. He's bigger than the biggest words we have to describe him. He's constant. He blinks, and our lifetimes come and go. To him, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. All of human history can be written on his fingernail, and there's still plenty of room left to write more. And he's doing very well today. I think that bears repeating, that regardless of how we feel, and regardless of what we're facing, and regardless of the vicissitudes of life, Jesus is doing just fine. He has no dilemmas, no quandaries, no shortages. He has no rivals, no counselors, no fears, no cracks, no worries. He's self-existent, self-contained, self-perpetuated, self-powered, and self-aware. In other words, Jesus is God, and he knows that he's God. He's timeless, ageless, changeless, always Jesus is. And after an eternity of being God, he shows no signs of wear and tear. He has no needs. His accounts are always in the black. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all of the hills upon which those cattle are standing. He's God, and he is in control. He holds the patent on everything. He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it. Nothing is hidden from him. He wrestles with no mysteries. He doesn't need to wait for, you know, public opinion or a polygraph test to decipher the truth. He's God. His rule and reign are unrivaled in history and eternity. His throne is everlasting. His kingdom has no end. Now, all of these little gods may abound, but Jesus alone made the heavens and the earth. He's never feared a power struggle or a hostile takeover. He doesn't have to watch his back because he has no equal, no peer, and no competition. Now, in the context of 2020, it's worth us remembering as we get ready for the Christmas season that Christmas is all about Jesus. It's about the incarnation, the fact that the I Am was made flesh. The I Am became flesh. Jesus went about fulfilling the entirety of the Old Testament, the law, and the prophets. Every single promise in his word, he himself went about fulfilling. In other words, what the word of truth predicted, the man of truth became. Now, one such prophecy is found in the book of Micah, saying that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It's worth noting that God moved the entire Roman Empire. He moved Caesar to tax the entire Roman Empire just to make sure that Mary and Joseph were in the right place at the right time. Not just Bethlehem. A very specific place in Bethlehem. A place called Migdal Eder, or the Tower of the Flock. You can read about its establishment in Genesis 35, when after the death of Rachel, that's where Jacob takes her to be buried. Bethlehem, or Ephratah, the place of bread, or the place of fruitfulness. Now, this area just on the outskirts of Bethlehem is also mentioned in historic writings. According to the Talmud, for example, it says that all cattle found in the area surrounding Jerusalem, as far as Migdal Eder, or the Tower of the Flock, were deemed to be holy and consecrated and could only be used for sacrifice in the temple, in particular for the peace and Passover offerings. There was thus a special consecrated circle around the city of Jerusalem that was found here at this Tower of the Flock. This means that the shepherds that were in the field in Bethlehem, who first heard the good news from the angels, were not just ordinary shepherds. I submit to you that they served as a sacrificial priest, as it were. They served within the Levitical priesthood as shepherds. They were in the sacrificial system of the temple. These men, they served the Mosaic covenant, which, as we know, was a foreshadowing of the new covenant. And these men were now confronted with the reality of the eternal light to which they had been preparing. My God, their ministry had been pointing all of these years to the coming of the Messiah. And at that day, that night, as they were watching over their flocks, angels appeared and declared unto them that the era of salvation was here. The prophet Micah refers to Migdal Eder, this Tower of the Flock, when he says, "And you, O Tower of the Flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem," the scripture which we read. Now, based on that prophecy, prominent Jewish writers concluded in their writings that of all the places in Israel, that it would be there, at the Tower of the Flock, at Migdal Eder, where the arrival of the Messiah would first be declared. So therefore, it was not just a manger where Jesus was born, but the manger, if you will. A specific manger, chosen eons past, that there would be a specific place He chose at a specific time that that place would be the place where the Messiah would be born, and that these were not just any shepherds, but these were priestly shepherds who were trained to inspect all of the lambs born in the tower of the flock in the fields of Bethlehem to make sure that they were without spot, that they were without blemish, that they had no faults, they had no defects. So, because those lambs needed to be presented to the temple without spot, blemish, or any such thing, these shepherds would wrap those lambs in swaddling clothes tightly in cloth to make sure that they didn't bump or bruise or any such thing. And so hear what the angel says to those shepherds who were so familiar with the sight of a lamb prepared for sacrifice, wrapped tightly in swaddling clothes. To those shepherds, the angels would say, "Fear not, behold, for I bring you good tidings. Today, at that specific place where the lambs are, is born unto you in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. A sign unto you that the sleeping baby is the very Lamb of God, born to be the Savior of the whole world." John the Baptist, another member of the priestly lineage, would declare it himself when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I'd like to say today at this juncture that Jesus is still the all-sufficient Lamb. He's everything that we need to be saved. This whole world can look unto Jesus and be saved. Isaiah 53 would say it this way, "Surely, speaking of Jesus, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." What a sign to those shepherds. The birth of the Savior, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, who is sufficient to take away the sin of the world. And so to that the angels retorted. They respond, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." We are still today living in the light of that word, in the times of salvation, when there is goodwill from God to men, when there's goodwill from God to you. We're living in the time when we can look toward Jesus and be healed of our disease, where we can look toward Jesus and be delivered from our affliction, where we can look toward Jesus and, most importantly, be forgiven and delivered from the bondage of our sin. Jesus keeps his promises. In 2020, we're celebrating a Christmas like no other, at least that any of us have experienced in our lifetime. And we might feel, you might feel, like so much has been taken from your ability to celebrate this year. But Christmas is not about the gathering en masse. It's not about the food. It's not about the presents under the Christmas tree or, you know, the shopping trip. Christmas is about Christ, the I Am made flesh, and how God went about fulfilling each and every one of his promises. And he's still fulfilling those promises today. We're living in the time where it can be said that all of his promises are yes and amen. So be encouraged, because he is still keeping his promises. And though everything around us seems to be shaking, he is the steady rock of ages that cannot be shaken. And if we're standing firm on him, upon that which matters most, then everything is working together for good. It is so easy to become distracted and caught up in what's going on around us that we lose sight of the essence of all things, and that's Jesus. So as we begin our celebration of Christmas, as we begin preparing, I ask out of the word of the Lord that we don't spend all the time thinking about what we don't have, but that we embrace wholeheartedly that which we do. For if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And if you don't, then today, Jesus is here for you. There's no time like the present to be saved. And what a time like Christmas to honor what Jesus Christ has done for the whole world. Let us pray. Father, as we gather together in our homes, listening to this podcast or watching this video, let us be reminded that you're everything that we need. You are all sufficient, all knowing, all powerful. And though the mountains be shaken and removed, yet you will remain steadfast and strong. Today we put our hope and our trust in you. Give us the grace, O God, to focus. For it's easy, God, for us to be so distracted with everything else that's going on that we lose sight of the thing that matters most. Give us clarity, Lord Jesus, to think about the things that matter most clearly. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church be blessed today. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you this evening. Amen.